Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's so good to be with you today as we continue along in the Gospels. As we've been going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, interweaving back and forth as we've been looking at the life of Jesus chronologically. Yesterday, where we left off, we were in John chapter 4 talking about the Samaritan woman. What a very interesting exchange that she's having with Jesus. And where we left off was, we finished off in verse 14. Verse 15, we just simply read, "The woman, the Samaritan woman, said unto him," being Jesus, "Sir, give me water, and I will thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And Jesus said to her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast said well, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou knowest has not thy husband, and thou sayest, what thou sayest is true." Really what he's saying is, you've been married five times, and all five times it hasn't worked out. In fact, the person that you're living with right now, you're just living together. And the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." You mean you're able to tell me that? My, you must be a prophet. Our fathers worship in the mountains, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour come in which you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father." As you remember, up in the area of Samaria, they had built their own altars and they were worshiping up there. And Jesus just simply says, you don't know what you're even worshiping up here. He says in verse 22, "You worship and you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." So what he was saying, up here in Samaria, you don't even have the law. You don't have the prophets. You don't have the Old Testament. And you don't even really understand what you're doing in your sacrifices. But if you go down to Jerusalem, the Jews understand the meaning of what they're sacrificing, because salvation truly did come of the Jews. In verse 23, we read, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Some very important things that the Lord's laying out for us. First of all, it's God's will. God's will is, when we come to worship him, that we come to him truthfully, that we worship with all of our spirit and all of our hearts unto the Lord. The only way that we can really worship God is the fact that when we become born again. Even that's why Jesus said in last week's lesson to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Outside of that, because you're not able to worship God, because your spirit has not been made alive. And so we need to be born again and truly, in order for us to truly to worship the Father. He said, secondly, that the Father is spirit, and God is spirit, and they that worship must worship him in spirit and in truth. Remember, in Psalm 51, after David had sinned with Bathsheba, after he had lost his little baby, he had gone to the Lord, and he did this beautiful prayer confession in Psalm 51. One of the things that he said, and I believe it's either verse 4 or 5, he said, "Thou desirest truth, and truth in the inward being." See, God's looking for us to be honest with him, to be truthful with him, not with lip service, not with outward appearance, not how many times that we've been bow our knees or going to church and do all kinds of different motions with our hands, or how many times we lift our hands up, or even if we sing in the choir, don't sing in the choir. See, God's always looking at the heart, and he desires that we worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh." Otherwise, she was looking for the Messiah. Isn't that marvelous? She was at a place where she was looking for the Lord to come back. He says, which is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. See, the Jews down in Jerusalem, they didn't quite get it, did they? They were looking for the Messiah, but they were looking for the Messiah as the conquering king. They were looking for the Messiah to come and overthrow their problem, the Roman government. But yet, here she is looking for the Messiah to teach her all things. I believe she was looking for the Messiah to give her the answers that were bothering her, that were buried deep within her soul, that quest for life, that zest for life, that as she was not finding it in relationships with a man, there was something missing, and she was looking for the Messiah. Notice in verse 26 what Jesus says unto her. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee and he. Here it is the first revelation that we see in the New Testament, that Jesus is telling somebody that he truly is the Messiah. You know, when we looked at this yesterday, I posed the question, do you think this gal, this Samaritan, is a good candidate for salvation? And I certainly believe that she is, and certainly Jesus thought she was, as he's revealing himself to her. See, remember, Jesus came to seek to save those who are lost, those who are hurting, those who are broken. The problem with the religious sect or those who think they got their act together, their pride keeps them from seeing and discovering who Jesus is. In verse 27, it says, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, why seekest thou, or why talkest thou unto her? Remember, this woman was a Samaritan, and they had nothing to do with them. And during that time, of course, a rabbi to be alone, even outdoors by a well to talk to a woman was taboo. They just didn't do it. And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man, otherwise the men of the city, which told me all the things that I did. Is this not the Messiah? Now she's going out and sharing her faith. How important it is for us to do that, to learn from her. Just to go tell people, come and discover who Jesus is. And in the meanwhile, the disciples prayed with him, saying, Master, eat, otherwise we've gone to the food, we got your food, you know, now it's time for you to eat. We went into the city, but he said unto them, I have a meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Can you imagine, did anybody slipping a submarine sandwich behind his back where he's got food to eat? But they didn't get it, did they? And Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What was the work that Jesus was talking? He says, that's what sustains me, is doing the will of the Father. I think that truly is a good lesson for us here this day. Is us to be focused on the will of the Father, what God would have us to do, rather than so consumed about the things that we deem to be important, that we would seek the things that God would have us to do, to finish the work that God had given Jesus to do, was certainly that work of salvation, the work of redemption, as we see later on in the book of John, where Jesus there at the cross, as he cried out his last word, it is finished. As he cried out those faithful words, he was saying, everything that was needed to be done in order to secure our salvation was accomplished on the cross. My will, my meat, is to do the will of him that's sent me and to finish the work. So not ye, that you are 4 months and you come to harvest. Of verse 35, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look. The fields are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receives wages and gathers fruit unto the life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon you bestow no labor. other men labor and you enter into their labors. And so the beautiful thing is that I'm sure as he was looking up, he was seeing this lady coming with all the men of the city. And the disciple says, hey, we're about ready to take part of something marvelous. And it tells us in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified and told me all that I've ever did. So the Samaritans were come unto him and besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode with them 2 days. And many believed because of his own words. And he said unto the woman, now you believe, not because of thy saying, for which you've heard him ourselves, and know that he is indeed the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. So here she went in and she testified. And as they came out and they heard the words of Jesus, and they too, in the city of Samaria, we see the salvation of this city. So many people turn into the Lord because of one person, this Samaritan woman who believed in Jesus. See, your life too makes a difference. Your life can change other people's life as we live for him and look for opportunities to tell people about the greatest story ever told, the story of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so until next time, this is Pastor Terry. May God richly bless you.
Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.